Please join me as we look to God in prayer. Father, we pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. And may your word, Lord, reveal what is on your heart. And may your Holy Spirit bring transformation in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we will look at John chapter 15. This passage on the vine and the branches is a very familiar passage to many of us. It contains one of the most important teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ on discipleship. And this morning, I want to share three marks of a true disciple of Jesus from John 15. And the first mark of a true disciple of Jesus is spiritual fruitfulness. Using the metaphor of vine branches, something that the people in Asia Minor in those days would be very familiar with, Jesus explained what marks a true disciple. Jesus said, "I am the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Firstly, three different characters are identified in these two verses. The vine, which represents our Lord Jesus, the vine dresser, which represents God the Father, and the branches, which represents all of us, all believers of Jesus Christ. Also, two types of branches are identified in these two verses. One that does not bear fruit, and the other that bears much fruit. And our Lord Jesus makes it clear here, the mark of a true disciple is one that bears fruit, or fruit-bearing, or maybe in biblical terms, spiritual fruitfulness. And let's examine these two types of branches a little bit more closely. So Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Verse 2. When the vine dresser removes the branch that does not bear fruit, the pruning process has taken place. What is pruning? Pruning is an agricultural process to remove the dead and dying branches so that the nutrients from the soil could reach the other parts of the branches that are still healthy and alive. And as a result of this, branches that are still healthy and alive will yield better and more fruits later during harvest. In 2017, I had the privilege of staying with a friend in Seattle after a mission conference. This friend owns a vineyard, and one evening I was invited to his vineyard to prune the branches. So he handed me a pair of shears, basically it's a pair of cutter, and I was invited to join him to go around, you know, this vineyard to prune the dying and the dead branches. At the end of 1 hour, we had a whole basket full of dead branches. Not that I knew what I was doing. Basically, I was just trimming what I thought should be trimmed. And as we went along, this friend of mine patiently explained why the need for pruning. It is so that those dead and dying branches will not clutter up and deprive the rest of the branches from receiving the nutrients from the soil. I thought that's so interesting because that perfectly reflects what our Lord Jesus is saying here in John chapter 15. And as a result of this pruning process, the remaining branches will become more healthy and will be able to bear fruits at the end of the day. So as we process this metaphor and what our Lord Jesus has said in John chapter 15, you realize that the first type of branches that does not bear fruit refers to those that are dead. And in our case, it refers to people who profess that they believe in Jesus Christ but choose to continue to live in sin and are spiritually dead. And Jesus says, the Father, the vine dresser, will remove the dead branches from the vine. It will be cast away, it will be thrown away and burned. Second type of branches refers to those branches that are healthy and alive. And in our case, it refers to believers who are spiritually alive and are growing in spiritual maturity. And Jesus says that every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruits. So back to my 2017 experience with my friend in the vineyard, as we were going along pruning the dead branches and dying branches, I saw him trimming the healthy branches as well. And for a moment, you know, I was surprised because he was trimming the excess and smaller buddings from the branches. And he explained to me, the principle here is the same as pruning the dead branches. But this time, he trims the excess and the smaller buddings so that the nutrients could reach the other parts of the healthy branches and to cause the fruits to become better and more. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, pruning is about achieving quality and not quantity. Pruning is about achieving quality and not quantity. You know, the Singaporean in me immediately, you know, thought, yeah, because you're not a Singaporean. In Singapore, we'll probably want both. But what he said really stuck with me because I thought it was so profound that pruning is about achieving quality. Because when our Heavenly Father prunes us, when he puts us through different journey in life, and when he puts us through situation in our life, whether at work, at home, in our ministry, he's pruning us, he's helping us to grow in spiritual quality. And as we reflect, my dear friends, further on John 15, it will become clear to us that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we who are saved by grace, redeemed from sin, we are designed to be spiritually alive and growing in spiritual maturity or fruitfulness. And that, my friends, is the first mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. The question for us would be, what kind of disciples do we want to be? One that is bearing fruits or one that is not bearing fruits? I believe the answer is simple. And our desire, and I believe everyone in this room and those watching online, our desire will be these disciples that are bearing fruits. Second mark of a true disciple of Jesus is one who has a genuine relationship with Christ. And Jesus said in verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This segment of John 15 is often misunderstood because of the language and translation. To better understand the second mark of the true disciple of Jesus, we need to first understand the word abide, meno in Greek. In most instances, meno means to remain or to continue. But Greek scholars reminded us that when the word abide is used in the context of a person, it means more than just to remain or to continue with. The word abide in future continuous tense means that this relationship with the person is to be everlasting. It's meant to be continuous. However, you will realize that if we consider the context of the word used here, it's not just any normal relationship. Because you can remain, you can continue in a relationship, but not have any intimacy. I know the person, but I don't have a deep relationship with the person. So when the word abide is used here in this context, in John 15, it means more than just continuing or to remain. It means something deeper. It means a genuine relationship with the person. So allow me to paraphrase verses 4 and 5 by replacing the word abide with genuine relationship. So listen to this. Jesus said, if you have a genuine relationship with me, and I will have a genuine relationship with you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it has a genuine relationship with the vine, neither can you unless you have a genuine relationship with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever has a genuine relationship with me, I will have a genuine relationship with him. It is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So to abide in Christ is to have a genuine relationship with our Lord and Savior. Does it make sense to you now, as you look at verses 4 and 5, to realize that when God calls us to abide in Him, He's calling us to have a genuine relationship with Him. Now let's examine these two verses a little bit further. So Jesus said that a genuine relationship with Him is the key to spiritual fruitfulness. Verse 4. And unless we have a genuine relationship with Christ, we cannot bear fruits. Again, using the metaphor of the vine branches, Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it has a genuine relationship in the vine. We don't need to be agriculturists to understand the branch itself cannot bear fruit apart from being part of the tree. I'm sure many of us here love durians. The durian branch cannot by itself say, today, tonight, I want to bear fruits, but I do not want to be part of the durian tree. It has got to be part of the tree, and it has to be part of the process of growth in order for it to bear fruits. And this is true also of our spiritual life, that we cannot bear fruits unless we have a genuine relationship with Christ. And that's why our Lord Jesus, at the end of verse 5, said, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I've chosen this picture of an electrical cable and a wall socket to illustrate our need for a total reliance and dependence on our Lord. Imagine with me for a while that Jesus Christ is the electricity in the wall socket, and we are the electrical appliances at the other end of this electrical cable. And unless we are plugged in, no matter how hard we try, the electrical appliances in us will not work. It will not produce the result that's desired unless we are plugged in to the socket. Likewise, my dear friends, in our spiritual life, we cannot bear fruits unless we are plugged in to Christ. Are we plugged in, my friends? Are we plugged in into a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? It is for this reason that the beginning of this year, we started the series on the deeper life in Christ. And we have crossed the halfway mark. And I want to say to you, church, well done. And I want to encourage you to continue to press on, to go deeper, to build in Christ and to build an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. Now allow me to address something more difficult. It is dangerous to believe that we can be disciples of Jesus Christ without the need for a genuine relationship with our Lord. If that's the view that some of us are holding, you should be concerned. You need to question, what is the source of my spiritual growth? It is so easy to pretend to be church, to put out a facade that we are faithful Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, but have no true, genuine relationship with our Lord and Savior. You know what? People will see through who we truly are. People will see through us, through the way we lead our ministry, through our relationship with our spouse and children, through how we function at work, through the things that motivates us in life, and through the purpose that we live for in life. People will see through us whether we have a genuine relationship with our Lord and Savior. Relationship with Christ, or should I say, genuine relationship with Christ, is not just a good idea, but a necessity if we want to be faithful disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without a genuine relationship with Christ, sadly, we are no better than those who do not know Christ. And the warning for us in verse 6, and this is a serious warning that we need to heed and take carefully. Jesus says in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into fire and burned." And I think this metaphor is so clear. Jesus is talking about this eternal fire, hell, that we will go if we do not have a genuine relationship with Him. We need to remember that when we first committed our life to believe in Christ, we have acknowledged and accepted the Lordship of Christ. We have allowed Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. We have acknowledged that He has forgiven us of our sins. We have also committed to a living relationship with our Savior. We have also allowed Him to transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this takes place when we abide in Him, when we have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus went on in verses 7 and 8 to express what will take place if we have a genuine relationship with Him. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Isn't it amazing that when we have a genuine relationship with Christ, God will empower us to experience His grace, His power. Prayers are answered. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, my dear friends, we will experience God's answered prayers. And more importantly, by the power of the Holy Spirit and this genuine relationship with Christ, we will see transformation that will take place in us, and we will glorify God the Father through how we live out our lives as faithful disciples. So, my dear friends, are we plugged in into this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you connected to the source of life, the vine, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and bearing fruits? Third mark of a true disciple of Jesus is one who lives with an authentic faith. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." We have examined the first two marks of a true disciple. spiritual fruitfulness and a genuine relationship with Christ. And these two must come together and lead us to an outward expression of our Christian faith. Jesus said, as God the Father has loved me, I too love you. And it is through this genuine love relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ that we are called to keep His commandments. What does that mean? To understand that, we need to re-look and re-examine the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." If we break down the Great Commission into two parts, you will see the call to make disciples. And you will also see the call to observe all that Christ has commanded. The word observe simply means to put into practice all that we have learned from the Word of God. To put into practice all that we have learned from the Word of God. Discipleship is not about more head knowledge. There's really no point if we accumulate all the head knowledge but do not live out our faith authentically. If we simply go about life without living out what we truly believe in the Scripture, sadly, we are mere hypocrites. What our Lord Jesus Christ truly desires of His disciples and of us is never our achievements and our accomplishments, but how we live out our faith authentically, not only in church, but also in the public domain. In the beginning of this year, we were in the Nehemiah series, and you remember the Israelites, because of their disobedience, they were cast into exile. But when the law of Moses was once again read for them after the rebuilding of the walls, they were confronted with a decision that they have to make. One, either to continue to live in sin, or two, to live authentically for God. Their decision was recorded for us in Nehemiah chapter 10. Allow me to read for us. "All who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers and their nobles, enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and His rules and His statutes." Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 28 to 29. The Israelites were cast into exile when they were called to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, and when they were confronted by the Word of God, they made a choice. They made a choice to live authentically for God. What about us, my friends? What about us? Are we living an authentic faith? Are we putting into practice what we believe and what we preach? Discipleship is a journey to become more Christ-like in our being and our doing. Perhaps one of the questions that we need to ask of ourselves today is, how have we demonstrated Christ-likeness in the midst of this global pandemic? If we were to take a hard look at ourselves in the mirror, can we with a good conscience say that in the last 18 months, we have authentically reflected the image of Christ to our loved ones, to our colleagues, to our neighbors, even to strangers? What are the things that we are saying or posting on the social media? Have we reflected the true image of Christ, His humility, His compassion, and his love. Are we living our Christian faith authentically to glorify our Father in heaven? Let me share some concluding thoughts and then I will close. As you study John 15 very carefully, you will notice that chapter 15 is sandwiched in between the teaching of the Holy Spirit, chapter 14 and chapter 16, where our Lord Jesus promised the Holy Spirit and taught about the works of the Holy Spirit. Some of us may be thinking that the author John was writing about the Holy Spirit and then he was distracted. He wrote something else and then continued to write on the topic of the Holy Spirit. I want to suggest to you, the author John was actually intentional in putting this whole topic of discipleship together with the Holy Spirit. And we need to see the discipleship and the Holy Spirit all come together. They are intertwined. Without the Holy Spirit, my dear friends, we cannot produce spiritual fruits. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, we definitely are unable to live authentically. God has promised that He will not leave us as orphans, but He will send us a helper, the Holy Spirit. That this Holy Spirit, as He empowers and enables us, He will help us to live authentically, to have a genuine relationship with Christ, and to produce spiritual fruits. And our Lord Jesus says in verse 11, "These things that I have spoken to you, that my joy in you and your joy may be full." And as a result of that, my dear friends, we can and may become true disciples of Jesus Christ. Please join me as we look to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your word. And we pray that, Lord, as you have called us to be your disciple, Lord, help us to take this journey with you seriously. Help us to build a deeper life in Christ. Help us, Lord, to know that you have given us the Holy Spirit to empower us that we may live our life authentically, to have a genuine relationship with our Lord and Savior, and to produce spiritual fruits. So we pray, Father, help us to walk in righteousness, to live out this authentic faith, to glorify your name on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.